Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for listening to another episode of Citizens for a Better Broome. I'm Bob Kingsley. I'm the president of Citizens for a Better Broome. We're a local, not-for-profit organization that was founded in 2008, and the goal of our group is to be a watchdog on local government. We're all about consolidation, sharing of services, the reduction of taxes, efficiencies, wherever we can find them in government. That includes local government in our 24 towns and municipalities within Broome County, the 11 school districts within the county. We think 11 school districts in a county the size of Broome is about 10 too many. We also believe that the overlaps in government and pension costs and legacy costs for everyone that has a job within the 24 municipalities in Broome County is about 22 too many. We should have one school district and maybe the city of Binghamton and everything else in Broome County, and avoid all these overlapping costs of paying superintendents hundreds of thousands of dollars to administer school districts that in some cases have less than 1,000 students. They do this in other portions of the country very successfully, saving a lot of money. For example, in Florida, the city of Jacksonville, which is a huge geography, is one school district and it has about 30,000 kids, which is the total population, not even 100% of the population of all the kids in Broome County. So it's very doable. And as we know in Florida, Florida is has 2 million more people than New York State does, and it administers its affairs in state government with about half the amount of money. So it can be done. It should be done. New York is a place that young people escape from. Our kids don't want to stay here because the opportunities are low and the costs are high. So we're trying to turn that around by having influences on local governance. We invite you as citizens to assist us in this regard. We meet once a month, the first Monday of the month, and we move it around a little bit. We've been meeting at Thirsty's over on the south side of Binghamton here for the last couple of months, 6 o'clock p.m. We have some drinks and some food, and we talk about the issues of the day, and we invite you to come over and check us out, and we'd love to have you, whether you're share our views or not. We will take constructive criticism as well. Our object is to do better here and to preserve people from leaving here in droves. I mean, just recently we found out that New York is one of, I think, 7 or 8 states that is losing a population at an alarming rate. So anyway, we're about to conduct another podcast, and Andy Harrison and I will be chatting back and forth about what's going on in Broome County and elsewhere. We hope you enjoy it. You can check us out on Facebook, Citizens for a Better Broome. And again, first Monday of every month at 6 p.m. You can check that out on Facebook in case we change our locations, but generally it'll be at Thirsty's. And we invite everyone to show up. So let's get started. And thank you so much for subscribing. Check us out at bobkingsley.com, where you can see a lot of my writing as well. So without further ado, let's get started.
How you doing today, Bob?
Good. How are you, Andy?
Good.
Good to see you.
Well, Mayor Braindead of New York City has come out with 2025 zero emissions, or all the electricity in New York City will be renewable energy. And I'm curious, are you going to close the airports down, the airplanes, or the give paddles to the cruise ship patrons that paddle their way to the Caribbean?
Well, since when does a governor, a mayor,
right,
even if it's a large city like New York, have that kind of authority or power? Where does he get this from? I mean,
they got to buy the electric.
How about I got an idea? Your job as mayor is to make sure that the streets are safe. Number one, how's that going for you, Bill?
Well, he's done a great job with the bail reform, a problem with the trash collection and the rats.
They've got problems in every
crime
of government that they should be. That's the first order of business. Why don't you get that part of it even vaguely right, and then you can dabble in these other social warrior endeavors you want to get.
Well, he's going to fix electricity. That'll be interesting to see how
Good luck with that, but a little closer to home. The dust up here recently, folks, you probably read about it in the newspaper, if you get the newspaper. The book called Something Happened in Our Town. This was a book published primarily for 4 to 8-year-olds. that is a little bit of a damning critique on police. There were right. portions of the book that actually said that the police were harbored resentment against black people and so on, and it was kind of, I think, snuck into the curriculum over at Binghamton.
Racial profiling, right?
Right, and,
exactly.
These kids, all of a sudden, it gets out that these 4 to 8 year olds in MacArthur School are getting this read to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is a very slanted view of the good work police do, and paints a picture for these little impressionable minds that the police are somehow to be feared, or that they have a bias against one group or another.
What happened to education? The reading, the writing, I think we talked about this before, the arithmetic.
We did. But you know, and to find this out because a parent, you know, had some foresight into either having it told to them by another teacher or whoever it came to light is a little bit alarming. I mean, this is something obviously controversial. And, of course, I did reach out to Brian Whalen, who's the president of the Binghamton School Board, and okay. asked him in an email a bunch of questions about this book. Do you think I got an answer? That's right. I did.
What are they? Are they ducking under the table here? Or
well, I guess. And so I sent it to him again. It was very respectful, asking a handful of questions. No answer. Finally, I foiled it. Used the Freedom of Information Law to ask the same questions. And the woman who is in charge of the Freedom of Information request at Binghamton is very nice. She took the request, acknowledged that she received it. And I just sent a note to Brian again today. And I said, Brian, you know, it's really a shame that here you can't have a conversation with me. You're supposed to be the leader of the school board. You're the chairman of the school board. Why can't you have a conversation that doesn't have to be scripted? Why does it have to force me to use Freedom of Information when you could talk about it person to person with me, but you don't have the balls to do so?
Well, it looks like they're covering their own. They're all teachers and parents on the school board anyway.
No, it's just disgusting that you can't even have a conversation with this person, even if it's by email or text or what have you, and forcing taxpayers like you and I to have mm-hmm. to take the long road and go and foil the thing. It's just despicable, and it just shows you know that these people are sneaky. This was you know that this was going to not be received well, yet they did it anyway. And then they had the balls to apologize when the police union raised a stink,
right?
Justified
and
stink.
And they made like the police are the bad people again.
Well, they apologized to the police, and they said in the letter, this book or the passage in no way reflects our feelings. Well, if that's the case, why in the hell did you put it into the curriculum?
Yeah.
You know, this is just disgusting. I applaud the police for actually being proactive, making it an issue with these
folks.
Well,
sure.
And, of course, as soon as they got called on it, you know, they shriveled into the corner and started tap dancing, you know.
Just hoping it goes away.
You know what, Brian Whalen and the others on that school board, all and any of you folks who had a part in approving this ought to resign. You ought to quit because you're not any good for the school district or for the kids.
Well, and the principal down there, I read, where her husband's in law enforcement, but yet she defends her teachers, saying that...
Yeah, what's the dinner table like in that house? Huh? You know?
Well, I see there's three new candidates running for the Binghamton School Board. All the various progressive groups are going to, you know, they're putting...
Plots trying to take over the school board. That way they can have a weekly lottery on who gets to claim that they got fondled in school and, you know, try to win the lottery of
hand over the keys to all the lawyers. Well, if you look at these 25-year-olds and younger, I mean, some of them can barely read a ruler. You say to yourself...
Ruler? What's that?
Yeah, exactly.
Ruler, that sounds very, very sexually biased, a ruler. I mean, a ruler, that's someone that lords... Can't even use that word.
Yeah.
I mean, we're tongue-tied.
There's political correctness here.
Yeah, it's run rampant.
Well, at least the city can get something done. They tore that house down. The fire was on Front Street. The SUNY Binghamton lacrosse team, they ripped that down. It was yesterday morning, right? The fire, and then by the afternoon, the house is already done. The city must be flush with money.
Yeah, same thing with the building there, the Indian restaurant on Main Street that caught fire. That's all ripped down on the corner of Main and I don't know what street that is, but right on the west, on the across from what used to be the Masonic Temple.
Okay, yeah.
Binghamton, that's all razed completely.
Well, they used
down.
To let those buildings, not. I'm glad that the city responded so quickly, but they've left those things.
Well, they sure as hell don't respond quickly to the building I own. You know, I've got a house over on Meadow Street, and there's a ghost house next door to it that I've been begging them to take down. Vermin run through it. Crack addicts are in
and
out. Place is ready to fall down, and it's been that way for
just
5 or 6 years.
Yeah, well.
And they want you to make investments in the city of Binghamton. Good luck. You're on your own.
Well, I see finally the Como chips are going away, where today the legislature decided that it's really not in the best interest of the restaurants and bars to force bar patrons to have to buy food. It hasn't really worked out well. It's taken them a whole year to figure that out.
Well, yeah, this is all about control. It has nothing to do with right decision making or protecting the health and welfare of people. This is about whether or not Andrew the Wonderful can lord down on his minions. I mean, they lifted the curfew now for dining, I guess.
Right. Regular hours.
Regular hours.
May 5th, yeah.
You know, all of a sudden, May 17th is the magic day, and midnight curfew for indoor dining will be lifted on the 31st. It's just, you know, little dribs and drabs of here's your freedom back. You know, thanks a lot.
Like they're doing us a favor.
Meanwhile, I wonder if Woman 11 is on his hit list of fondle.
Right.
Fondler.
Well, he's trying to run out the clock, and the assembly and the Senate, they're going to let him. They're not going to.
Well, nothing, you don't hear about it at all anymore.
Well, Como, he's laying below the radar because Hestie and the cousin's woman, they're dangling the impeachment threat over him every day that if he doesn't go along with what their agenda is, it'll turn out to where there's a
jumping over good news locally, just one county over, but attractions for us too. Tioga Downs, the harness racing season is about to start, and they're going to open for it and
again.
Have harness racing and in-person viewing. So that's a great venue. If you haven't been out there, it really is something to support, because I can't tell you how close Jeff Gorrell came to folding up his tent on this thing because of COVID.
Heck of a investment that he's made there.
Well, imagine these poor guys, they have to pay $5 million just to apply.
For the license.
For the license.
Yeah.
No guarantee of getting it. Just a $5 million application fee. I mean, what a bunch of thieves in Albany.
Well, and they end up with I like to know where all that money goes. Jeez.
Oh, it's
and yet the Indian
hole.
Casinos stayed open the whole time because they're not subject to New York State law.
Right, and did you hear anything about super spreaders or anything else up there? Of course not.
No, they do whatever they want.
Right. And they're successful financially. But kudos to Jeff for keeping the place open. And even though we like to keep our topics close to home with Broome County, I think the support of the casino next door is something that a lot of people from Broome County go there.
Well, and Broome County gets quite a bit of money from the casino.
Right, and he's very generous with nonprofits and so on. So kudos to them, and best of luck. I hope it goes well this season. Maybe I'll see you down there.
Well, we'll put some pennies or nickels and dimes into the slot machines. That's about my speed. Well, the New York Times had another headline today where it said that Como office, they didn't list him in particular, but the New York Times says that the COVID deaths are far greater than what are previously known. It'll be interesting to see in the coming weeks what that really means.
You know, I've had apprehensions about this. I've got a lot of friends in medicine with a lot of insight and a lot of back information about this stuff. It's incredible what they count as COVID deaths. I mean, if you fell off a scaffold and broke your ankle and they test you, you're COVID, you're in the books, you know. COVID might not have anything to do with what's happened to you, or even if you died, you could die of a massive heart attack, but if you got COVID, you're going in the COVID calendar, you know.
Well, a curious thing, one of my wife's cousins in February, the beginning of February, ends up in at Wilson with pneumonia, and had all the COVID-like symptoms, but was never, she was there 2 or 3 weeks, released. She's in her 80s. So she ends up with a swollen, this is kind of a crazy story, but her big toes are swollen, and goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, well, that's COVID toe, which is one of the side effects of having COVID. And then she's tested, and it turns out that she had it. Now, this is the first week of February. So we're saying that March 6th was the first Broome County, if I'm getting that date right, within a day or two. And I'm curious now. I wonder how long this thing, and she hasn't been anywhere.
Well, she might have been patient zero, right? I mean, it was
in Broome County, maybe. Well, she hasn't been anywhere. She's right. Lives up here.
But she could have been exposed by someone.
But well, exactly. The problem is, how long? I mean, they're saying, well, the Chinese said that it was in January when they first announced it. Well,
the Chinese
mid-80s,
are known for being very forthright and honest with their information.
Well, I know
very
that.
Very transparent. Very transparent. So, you know, there's been, on that same line, there's been a lot of talk recently from very high placed officials in medicine, forensic medicine, that are mm-hmm. looking back at the Wuhan lab.
Right.
And saying that this came
from there.
Is a bio attack.
Right. It's a bioweapon. Right.
So, you know, where's that story?
Well, I mean, that's buried. That doesn't fit the narrative of Washington.
It gets buried with Mr. Dr. Fauci telling us a double mask, triple mask. Do this, don't do that.
And now you don't have to wear your masks outside as long as you're with a family or a non-family unit.
You know, this whole thing has stunk from the beginning to high heaven, just ripping our freedoms away. No one seems to pay attention to the effect this has on personal freedom. That's the most important concept in the United States of America, is personal freedom, not group identity,
right,
but personal freedom. And you know, for those folks who felt threatened or scared or whatever by this virus, stay the hell home. It's not a hard concept. And if you want to go out, go out. But take responsibility for yourself.
The consequences of this. I mean, just last week, Binghamton started 4 days a week for the elementary. Look at how these kids are behind. It's just,
behind were they?
Well, but maybe, at least in Whitney Point, they started right off 5 days a week, and what a difference. My little guy is still, he's still behind by, you know, I'm thinking maybe a half a year, but at least they're working at it.
When you're 6 or 7 years old, a half a year is a whole big chunk of your lifetime. And you know, learning in that era, you just don't get that back.
Well, this thing with the Zoom is just, you know, I guess it's a lesser of evils. What else are they going to do?
Well, and we said, too, last week on our broadcast, we're talking about Zoom and how this, attracts kids to the screen. Well, hell, we had a pretty bad problem with attracting into screens for the wrong reason, playing games, and these parents, these
right.
millennials, using a cheap iPad as a babysitter. You know, that's just abhorrent to me. When you see these little kids, toddlers, running around with an iPad stuck to their eyes, it's just so that mom and dad don't have to pay attention to them and actually parent them.
Well, these city of Binghamton parents, school parents, I'm surprised that they're not down there banging on the door. And, you know, what are we, eight months into the school year, and now they're just getting back to school. And then they're here. We are bogged down, focused on the reading of this anti-police book. What is it with these?
If you're not doing the basics, if you're having, and I'm not blaming teachers. I'm saying though, if the test scores are revealing that the kids aren't living up to what they should live up to, why not really focus in on that instead of this social justice crap? I mean, that's just crap. And when they get called on it, sure enough, they fold up and say, oh, you know, mea culpa. Well, you know what? That's not good enough. Those people ought to resign. They don't represent us. They don't represent the kids. They don't represent a decent school district. And that kind of crap's got to get called out. And parents, you got to go down there and say, you know what? Get that crap out of the system. And all the other crap you probably have that's similar to that, get that out, because if we find it, we're going to tear it out ourselves.
Well, and it begs the question here, what about all the homeowners, all these marginalized streets in Binghamton that are just on the cusp of just rolling over? As you said, you in one of your the multifamily homes, the house next to it, that pulls down the cost of the,
I've got
the,
two
the
young
value.
Two young girls that are tenants. And they say the one thing, they're scared because they're living next door to this place, because it's a haunted house, basically. It's got all sorts of problems. And, you know, and now I got critters running through the yard, you know, that are, because it's grown up and wild.
And the rats are.
Yeah, it's
the rats are taking
and, you know,
over.
On the one hand, you want to make investments. You want to try to make things better. And I think I did. But, you know, I'm not getting any help. No help from the city of Binghamton. Thanks a lot.
Well, the city's more focused on all the demonstrations and all.
That's just a shame. It's
these. Well, if the country was truly racist, we wouldn't have elected a black president two times,
right?
And they have, and we elected a vice president.
Yeah, racism is
you know, that's just
that's a canard.
Yeah,
that's a canard.
Red herring, you know, all the way.
There's nobody lined up at the borders of Russia, China, North Korea, Cuba, Venezuela trying to get in. Nobody.
What's that tell you? Right.
Nobody. They're trying to get into this terrible, rotten, racist country by the
exactly.
tens of thousands at the southern border every freaking day. You tell me how bad it is when these people supposedly are walking from Central America up here just to get an opportunity to sneak across or get asylum or whatever.
Sure, it's 1,000 miles.
You know, trying to tell me how bad we suck. Give me a break, you know? That's just anti-American gibberish.
And nobody's calling it out well, we are obviously, but the press, even the local paper, right? You look at letters to the editor on Sunday. You know, it's not. It used to be I hate Trump, but now it's I hate these social issues. I can't stand
right.
the way that you know.
Oh, they're so far left. I mean, I used to write extensively guest viewpoints for the press, and when they finally went to the format of having one day a week for editorials, that's it. It's mm-hmm. Sunday. I finally said, to hell with it. You know, there's bigger forums than the Gannett paper.
Right.
So now I write in bigger forums. And it's funny, I just for hee-haws, I sent an article I wrote to the press, and it was 903 words, where the top is 500 for guest viewpoints. So I just sent it for ha-has. Anyway, it was published in the American Thinker, which is
right.
a big outfit. I got yeah. a note just yesterday from one of the editors over there, and they said, hey, Bob, we'd like to run this, but you got to knock it down from 903 to 500. And,
that's half the article, right?
Yeah, and he said, boy, there's some very inflammatory statements in there. So he starts giving me these editing tips, you know?
Yeah.
And I wrote back, his name's Keith. I said, hey, Keith, never mind. It was published in a higher place anyway. I'm not changing anything. Thanks for the nod. So, you know, the press and Sun Bulletin is just the USA Today with obits for individual
cities. Yeah, exactly.
Cities.
Well, sadly, it's about who we open that up first, I guess, to look at who do we know that died and who died too young and who lived a great life.
Yeah, and especially now when it's not published even locally, my understanding is it's printed in Rochester.
Right.
So look at the turnaround yeah. times. You've got 48-hour news in this.
Exactly.
And when you've got an internet-driven world.
Yeah.
What the hell good is a newspaper with 48-hour news in it?
Well, I put out the COVID stats every day
right.
By Facebook. And,
I know. I wish you'd quit doing that. That really bothers me. Stop it, Andy.
Well, we've got to. It's interesting. I've gotten a few comments
yeah.
that of. It gives you an idea of where the where the COVID is and where
yeah.
it's going,
no,
and it stays around 450, 500.
Yeah, and what does that tell you about everything we were told early on? Now more than half
yeah.
the country's got the vaccine, at least one.
Right.
So we should be this
they
curve
should be
should
going
be
down
right
exactly
down to nothing,
and now everybody can get it, even
right.
the 20-year-olds, 16-year-olds,
16-year-olds can get it. And
so
you know what?
I
helped a guy that didn't have a computer get it, and he got it just today at the CVS. I went online
yeah.
last night at 8 o'clock
yeah.
at night and got him an appointment for 11
the
o'clock
next
this
day.
Morning.
Went right.
So
yeah.
it's no problem to get it. No
well,
problem
so everybody's even my father. 89 years old, said he wasn't going to get it, but he didn't want to give it to...
Right.
He didn't want to say, oh, geez, I end up giving it to...
My grandkids
and great-grandkids, for that matter.
Hey, you know what? Well, are we almost out of time? How much time
Well,
we
we're
got?
Getting there.
We're
a
getting
few
there.
More minutes.
Let me
yeah.
talk about Clinton Street Cafe.
Okay.
I know we're doing this for nothing on a podcast, but we don't want to be doing this forever on a podcast.
Yeah.
We are working on live radio and call-ins, so we're working
well,
on
we
that.
Gotta
but
pay
I got to tell you...
somehow. Yeah.
I have breakfast on occasion over at the Clinton Street Cafe in Clinton
yeah.
Street in Binghamton. Steve and Nora, husband-wife team, run this place. It's a clean, nice little diner restaurant. Really good
homemade
food.
Homemade sausage. Cheap. Had some.
$5 yeah. and change for, you
breakfast.
Know, breakfast.
Yeah.
It's a great place for lunch and breakfast. Check them out. And the reason I say this is because I had approached Steve about taking some sponsorship time
yeah.
in our show. And he's all excited about it. He just today said to me, "When are you guys going yet?"
Yeah.
And I said, hey, if we could, the problem with getting in a studio is that you have to be an employee. This particular station
right.
insists on that. So we're working on it.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm going to give a shout out to Steve. And for those people who like a nice breakfast, a casual lunch, you can't beat it. Clinton Street Cafe in Binghamton.
Well, thank you.
There's a kick for that. So
well, that's our 2 cents for the week.
Oh, and you know what, Andy? In closing, folks,
okay.
Monday, this Monday coming up, we're recording this on a Wednesday, the 28th or 9th, is the first Monday of the month, and that's our meeting. So 6
right.
o'clock, Thursdays, Monday. What is that day? The 2nd, 3rd?
Well, it's the 1st.
The 1st. It is the 1st. Okay. And 6 o'clock, we'll be there. We invite comment. We'd like you to come, whether you're pro or against or whatever you have to add. We're happy to have you. And Andy, it's a pleasure to see you again. I'll talk to
all
you.
All right,
everybody,
it's the 2nd of
week,
April.
Huh?
I just looked at the calendar. Okay.
All right.
So,
all right.
Good
folks.
Enough.
Take it easy.
We'll see you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.